Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
All right, we're down $305 from the start of the year of the money that Mr. Gao gave us to try and, you know, make some money with some picks. Today we start the comeback. No, Jeremy, it's going to be a good week for this. All right, there's kind of been a theme in BZ Money. The Falcons are better than we think.
Well, you got that right.
Now, to be clear, I don't think the Falcons are good, but I think the Falcons are going to be closer to a 6-7 win team than the, I mean, they've already got three wins.
They've covered every single spread they faced.
And they're at the Bengals, who have started to figure it out a little bit, but the Bengals are not the team we watched in last year's postseason. The Falcons are at the Bengals, 6.5 points. I think that's way too much.
So you're taking the Falcons.
The Falcons.
And what's on the road. What's the current spread?
The spread I have is 6.5. I may have moved in the last hour, but that is the spread that we're using.
You know what? Here's the thing. As much as I was thinking about how we've had certain philosophies about like going against the home teams, and we've gone with too big a numbers, I just think this year's Bengals team, to your point, that's too big of a number. They're not who I thought they were going to be.
They're good. And I think
their skill position players are still some of the best in the league, in my opinion. But this revamped offensive line can't protect Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow seems to not be quite the Joe Burrow of even a year ago. And their defense should be stopping people at a more frequent clip.
I think when all is said and done, the Bengals are still going to be a playoff team and a good playoff team. A team who maybe can threaten some things in the postseason. But at times in the postseason last year, they were...
See, you lost me.
They look special.
They're a playoff team, but they're not even close to a year ago.
They're a good team. They just don't blow anybody out. Don't expect them to blow anybody
out. But they're not going to come close to what they did a year ago.
They were a hot playoff team last year. I think they're still capable of getting there, but that is not who they are right now. Nope. I feel really good about 6.5 for the Falcons.
What do you like, B-Mac? Because
it sounds like we're all together.
I'll stay open on that.
I would take the Falcons side of this.
Okay, you guys went really heavy on some bets last week.
We did.
I would like Jeremy to come back and be embarrassed at how well we did. That is my goal.
Anytime Jeremy could be embarrassed, I would like that too.
I'm thinking we go $40. 50, originally 50 was like our big bet. We've lost some money, and I think we've come down a little bit off that number. How do we feel about 40?
I feel great about it. It's still the Bengals against the Falcons, but if you want to do it,
all right, let's
go. I'm a team player.
How about 35?
Okay.
I will go 35.
All right. Okay. Fine.
All right, Joel, what you got for us?
All right, look. First one I got, and I was thinking about this for quite a while. Jimmy Garoppolo is still the quarterback of the Niners, right?
He is.
Last time I checked, even a trade yesterday for Christian McCaffrey is not going to help him all that much this week. The Niners have been dinged up. They're without a Bosa. They lost one of their key secondary members to an ACL. And it's still Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs normally on the road, you would say the home team normally it's worth 3. The Chiefs are giving 2 on the road at San Francisco. And they're coming off a game which they thought that they had a chance to win until Patrick Mahomes threw the pick that was very uncharacteristic. I really like the Chiefs giving 2 at San Francisco.
So I looked at this game as a game to put on the spread on my list for
which
the same
way?
Reason. The same way.
Okay.
My one concern is not even the game itself. It's that when you're betting too many games, it's overconfident, and I think you need to be careful. Honestly, this was the closest game. Taking the Chiefs was the closest I came to picking another game. So I'm very strong on this with you. If BMAC could talk me out of it, I would be open to not going here simply so we don't end up betting 6 games again. Mm-hmm. But I do like this.
Yeah, 2 is low enough to where I just usually look at, like, who do I feel is going to win the
like
game?
A pick 'em.
And I feel KC's going to win the game. So if I were going to bet this, I would also take KC minus 2.
I'm incredibly intrigued to see Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco, and we might get into that later if we have time. I just don't think a running back's that big of a deal.
Well, not only that, but they've already talked about how they're going to have some plays for him, specifically around the goal line, but he's not going to be out there for 50, 60, 75% of the snaps.
See, he can't be this week. Give Kyle Shanahan some time, and I think he'll find a perfect lots of ways to use him. I don't think it's this week, and I don't believe that. I think the Chiefs' defense is better, too. That's why I treat it like you did, B-Mac. I looked at it and said, this is basically a pick 'em game then to me, and I'll take Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners.
All right, sounds like we're all on the same side. How heavy do we want to go here?
I'm open to this as well. I mean, I talked you guys down a little bit on the last bet just because I thought we were going to do well last week and we didn't.
Yeah, I'm just afraid to do the opposite. I'm afraid to have Jerry come back.
How confident are you guys?
Pretty confident.
I'd put 30 on it.
I'd go the same as we did the last game. I'd go 35 again.
Okay, let's do 35. Right. I am so terrified now. I'm like you with the Astros.
See?
All right, B-Mac, what you got?
So my first one, I love the Ravens this week. They're at home against the Browns. That Browns defense has been awful. And I think this is the week the Ravens are going to get back on track, especially if they get Bateman back. He's kind of their secret weapon. Obviously, Mark Andrews is the targets leader. He's their biggest playmaker. But we've seen guys step up for their I'm blanking on the running back that they just, Kenyon Drake just went off for them.
Why is everybody blanking? Because it's a common word.
No.
It's a common word, Joel.
Lay off my relatives and heritage.
Again, don't get riled up. It's really not appropriate. I just think the Ravens are going to roll here at home. The Browns' defense is awful. Give me Lamar Jackson to get back on track.
It's a lot of points there, Brendan.
Yeah.
I just got done saying how we've gotten burned by big point spreads.
I like it, but we have gotten very burned.
Believe it was the Ravens against the Giants a week ago.
If this was my own money, B-Mac, I think I'd be in on this. It's not. It's Mr. Gow's money. And so I got to learn from our mistakes. And I think our single biggest mistake this year is taking big favorites.
I think you're right. I'm with you on this.
So we're going to pass?
We're gonna pass on this one.
Okay.
All right.
Now, on the other side, talking about big favorites, I'm taking a big underdog. The Panthers. Plus 13? 13. You're giving me almost two touchdowns against the Buccaneers? I'm sorry. What Buccaneers team has Vegas been watching? Because the one I'm watching has a hard time beating anybody by 14. They're not scoring enough points to win a game by 14.
Brendan, or 13. You just took away their biggest weapon in Christian McCaffrey.
It's a running back.
You have a guy that quarterbacked the Houston Roughnecks that's leading them into a defense that's led by some all-pro defensive linemen.
The quarterback is barely throwing it beyond the line of scrimmage.
P.J. Walker versus...
Every single pass to dump off.
I am begging you guys. I can hear that you don't want to make this pick.
I don't.
I am begging you guys to make this pick for me. The over-under is 39.5. Vegas is saying in a game with less than 40 points... that the Buccaneers, who have not been that
Panthers
good...
Panthers might not score a point with the guys they're going to put out there in skill position.
And they still might cover.
Might! I don't like might!
I said they might cover with zero. There's nothing else I can do. We got to get through other picks.
The same way that you did about my Ravens pick. If this is my own money, I agree with you. I'm just not super confident that they can't go out there and win by 17.
Originally, when we started this segment, we were going to allow people to single-handedly make a call. We decided to change that and require... a second person
out of three.
To co-sign. There's nothing I can do about it. If it was up to me, this is a... I'm very upset that we're not betting.
Do you realize that you might be excluded from any and all going forward if we decide to let peer pressure your way?
I want to put $50 on this game.
$50?
No, it sounds like we're not doing it.
You lower it. I'll go with you. How about that?
All right, $30.
Nope.
Okay, I'll go with you.
Bam! I got B-Mac. All right, Joel, what do you got?
I don't like that at all. I just got bamboozled there.
BMX, my favorite producer of the show.
Put a gold star on that. You start blocking people on Twitch, you guys might be like dating. Okay, now put a gold star on that to say that I disagreed with that. Okay, my other game. All year I've told you how much I know and I can predict the Packers. And I've said when the spreads are too big, and I've said that scares the hell out of me and that everybody should bet against the Packers. And they've come through. This week, with Washington going to Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, still no Chase Young. Their defense ain't great. The Packers are getting deservedly ripped to shreds about all of their shortcomings. They're only a 4.5-point favorite at Washington. I really like the Packers this week.
I don't love the Packers this week, but much like we've learned not to go with large favorites, I think we've done pretty well. Well, I'm an exception, maybe, but we've done a pretty good job following you, at least, on the Packers.
Yeah,
I don't know that we've lost.
My gut is not very confident in the Packers. I think they win. I think it's a 3-point game. But if you're confident, I'll go with you.
They're gonna get back to running the football. They made some tweaks on the offensive line. They put Jenkins inside so that they can run the football and do what they should have done a week ago against the Jets. I think that they know that they're on the hot seat with the nation right now and the way they're not playing well. I think they blow
Aaron Jones more involved.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to get Dylan and Jones more involved. They're going to win by a touchdown. I think they're going to, and again, it's Carson Wentz, but their starter's gone and Heinicke's got to get comfortable again. I really like the Packers.
You tell me if I'm wrong, But as someone who's watched plenty of Packers as a Lions fan, this is the worst Packers team that I can remember.
Offensively, it is.
It's the worst Packers team I can remember, maybe in my lifetime.
No, I can't say that because I went through 20 years.
Right, I mean, you're a little bit older than me.
Yeah.
But in the last 20, 25 years?
Their offense is really disappointing, and I kept harping on the receivers that they needed more and they didn't get them. Now they're, like, scouring the league to make trades and free agency
claims. They draft Christian Watson, and all they use him for is run reverses.
Yeah, Dobbs is better. Yeah. It was a bad pick.
I would like to go a little bit lower on this
20
one,
bucks.
I'm cool with that. I'm not even going to fight that at all. All right, B-Mac, last one. What you got?
I've got a wrong team as favorite situation here. The Giants, the 5-1 New York football Giants at Jacksonville. I'm sorry. I mean, we saw a stat, I guess it was a couple weeks ago when the Jaguars faced the Texans, that the Jaguars had only been favored in like three games over the last three seasons. All three were the Texans, and they lost every single game. I'm not buying the Jaguars as home favorites. I know the Giants, people think the 5-1 is fake, but the defense is playing well. Saquon looks like one of the maybe top two backs in all of the NFL. I think the wrong team is favored here, and I'm going to go with the Giants plus three.
So here's what I'm struggling with you, Joel. We said earlier this week, off air, that like I officially bought in on the Giants. Not that I wanted to. I just think
I've been the guy that's believed in Daniel Jones when no one else did.
I just think you get deep enough into the season and you have to respect what the record is.
You got to give them their love.
I also think the wrong team is favored, but I was so skeptical on the Giants up until this week. And when you're skeptical on a team naturally, right, and then Vegas tells you they are too. It's really hard to bet that game.
But this Jags team's so Jekyll and Hyde.
One
week they look like they might be way ahead of schedule, and then the next week they just completely crap all over themselves.
I'm not against betting this. If you guys are both in on it, I can go along with it pretty smoothly. It scares me, is what I would say. I definitely don't hate it.
I want to put a 40 spot on Daniel Jones, but I think this merits about betting.
20.
Another 20?
20. I'm good with that.
All right, at least we laid off one game this week.
Well, progress is made. Now let's make progress in the financial aspect, make some money.
I think one of our biggest issues is that we probably bet too many games. All right, we got Falcons plus 6.5, Kansas City minus 2, Panthers plus 13, Packers minus 4.5, and then Giants plus 3. Coming up, Joel, let me present a case on why we can relax just a little bit. Just a little bit, Joel, on Embrace the Suck. This is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey guys, I got to tell you all about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, I have been just singing his praises for a long time now because I have hair again where my eight head returned to a forehead and I got my hairline back. You can do the same thing and it's all natural. It's all your own hair. And it's all because of the NeoGraft procedure. And Doc Linville, in my opinion, is the best in the business at doing it. He does it right here in Houston, Texas. Simply put, it's taking your hair where you have an abundance of it. And genetically, he's shown me the studies. The sides and back of your head will always have hair. It's never going to go away. It's always going to stay. That's why he uses that hair and puts it where you either have thinning or balding. And he can get you hair where you didn't have it or you need more of it. And he can see it, and you can see it and watch it grow and have self-confidence and love the way it makes you look yet again. That's why I went and did the procedure with him. As an ESPN listener, you can get a consultation with Doc Linville and his staff to see if it's right for you, too. Just go to 975hair.com right now. And unlike everybody else that has to pay $150 just to talk to Doc Linville and his staff about it, you can talk to him for free. Ask how much it's going to cost. Is there financing? What's the procedure like? How much pain goes into it and any swelling? When are you back to normal and back to work? And the biggest thing I took away from it, a 95%+ success rate of every follicle moved will stay, get stronger, grow, and be there for the long haul. That's what I love the most. That's what I'm reaping the benefits of now. Check them out today. Tell them we sent you by. Go to 975hair.com. Tell them myself and ESPN 97.5 recommended you, and then see if the procedure is right for you. You don't have to do it. There's no obligation. But if you do it, you're going to be a believer, too. It's Doc Linville, 975hair.com.
Joel, a case in 2 minutes on why you can relax just a little bit on Embrace the Suck. But we do need to bring up, you had mentioned off air, you're being told you need to keep the beard because it's a playoff beard now.
And now that you're doing this, now there's even more pressure that I have.
Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't.
Right, but I didn't tell you could.
Well.
You know, we got my mother-in-law's in town. There's a ton of stuff going on. So I'm kind of way down on the totem pole these days. So I'm like, you know what? If I don't shave, so what? Normally, Lisa's not a fan of facial hair. But, you know, I used to have a goatee, and a lot of people that have known me a long time remember me for the most part. I always had a goatee until I started to get a couple of gray spots, and it really annoyed me, so I quit doing it. I grew it out, and now people from the gym to the people at Starbucks that I go to and everybody else going, oh, I love it. It's the playoff beard. Now, you can't shave it unless the Astros lose. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And now they're putting the guilt trip on me to where it's going to have to stay.
See,
so I actually took some time to trim it up today and make it look a little better. So I guess I'm going to have to roll with it for a while.
Yeah, I got
to
be honest with you. I'm not typically somebody who's going to be trying to peer pressure you, trying to convince you you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it.
Now, I'm not going to ZZ Top it.
No, I mean.
But I will keep it, and I will allow the majority of it to continue to grow.
I mean, how much longer do we got? Would you have to ZZ Top it? Not like we're talking about months here.
No, but I mean, I trim the bottom of it every day because I don't want the James Harden.
No, I think you can keep it clean. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, then we'll roll with it.
You just got to keep the beard.
No, I hate it, but that now I have to do it, but I'll roll with it. Now, that's how much my dedication is to the Astros.
Now, Joel, as a whole, I know on the show I tend to be the one to push back on Embrace the Suck, but as a whole, I subscribe to the theory. I think getting a quarterback is going to be important for the Texans, and that's going to require a high pick. The reason I think you can relax just a little bit, it doesn't mean you still shouldn't be hoping for a high pick. That Browns pick is going to be a lot higher than we thought.
Right now, it looks like it is.
I think that Browns pick, and this might be pushing it a little bit, I think that Browns pick could challenge to be as high as the Texans pick. They're not good.
Now, we had that conversation, and a couple people were like, are you? And I'm like, look, as much as that seemed far-fetched, here's the one factor that we're not talking about. It's this new lawyer with these new clients that want to talk about Deshaun. Because the NFL didn't close the book and put a lock on it and say, we can't reopen it. Deshaun's supposed to be back for that Texans game in the regular season. Not only are they not playing good football now, and Jacoby Brissett is exactly who a lot of us thought he probably still was and couldn't be any better than, but now you've got that hanging over their heads again, too.
I don't even look at it that way. I really don't. Like, if Watson comes back, my expectation is there's going to be a level of rust. That doesn't mean he's not going to be better than Jacoby Brissett, but he's not going to come back and be the Deshaun Watson he was 2 years ago. It's been forever since he's been playing football. And you look at the Browns' schedule, I don't know that they're going to win before he comes back. Baltimore this week, then Cincinnati, bye week, Dolphins, Bills, Buccaneers. Like, I don't think they're a favorite in any of those games. I think they're an underdog in every single game the rest of the way until Watson comes back. And I don't know what you think, but even with Watson back, I think the Texans could beat the Browns.
I don't.
I think the energy...
Let me ask you a question real quick to kind of just answer that. What is the biggest strength of the Browns right now?
Do they have one?
To me, it's a simple answer. It's running. You got two all-world running backs that can tote the rock. And what's the biggest weakness of the Texans right now, arguably besides quarterback? Stopping the run. I think Cleveland's going to...
Yeah.
I think they're going to run it right down. Sure, there's going to be a lot of emotion. But I believe that if the Browns just stay true to running the football down the Texans' throat, the Texans have proven right now to date that they can't stop the run.
Maybe I'm wildly off base here, and I should look at the secondary market. I think there's a chance that that's a playoff-ish atmosphere.
I don't disagree.
And you're going to have a team that's not used to playing in those. You're going to have a Texans team that's not used to playing in those. I think the Texans have looked a little bit more competent the last week or two. I mean, I don't want to oversell them. I'm not telling you that I picked them to win that game. I just look at that game in particular and say, if the Texans win that game, these teams are both going to be picking in the top five, six. And here's the other thing that I want to talk about. This isn't just a Browns thing. This is a Browns thing and a Texans thing. Traditionally, five wins is probably not going to have you picking in the top five, maybe just outside of it. I think it has a shot at the top five this year.
I don't disagree that both are going to be top 10 picks. I don't disagree that the Browns can't get out of a tailspin.
I think you could have two top seven picks.
They didn't. Yeah, if you want to go that high, I'll entertain that because I believe that the Texans will, no matter what, because I don't have the optimism you do. And I'll see which Texans team shows up, bad or worse. Those are the two options. Bad or worse shows up in Vegas. Because if the Raiders roll them and get right thanks to them, and Davis Mills is the same old Davis Mills that can't win a game for Mills Mafia and becomes the over-the-mills gang yet again, then I don't see any improvement that's going to take them any higher in that proposition. Now, the Browns is the wild card to me, and so far I did expect that because of the running game, because of how much talent they have on their roster, they would find a way to persevere and get a couple more wins that they didn't get early because we had looked at their schedule to where I completely agree with you. Just from
their schedule's tough.
Just because scheduling alone in their division, they got an uphill battle.
Now, admittedly, they end the season like after Deshaun gets back, they have a tough stretch for a little while. After Houston, it's Cincinnati, Baltimore, and New Orleans. They wrap up with Washington and Pittsburgh. Those are probably wins. I don't know. A part of me doesn't believe Pittsburgh is quite as bad as they've been, but they've been really bad. I think Washington's terrible. I think Washington is a bottom three or four team in the league. But I look at the standings this year, and it's already like the bottom of the league. Here's what I think it is. The top of the league is very small, and the absolute bottom of the league is very small. I think there's such a big group in mediocre land in this NFL. Joel, there's already only four teams left with one win, and three of them had a bye. Like, I think that you're going to be looking at the number one pick probably being a three-win team. I think you're going to be looking at the fifth pick being a five-win team. And I think it's going to be hard for both of these teams to get more than five, six wins. I think, like, honestly, you look at the Browns' schedule the rest of the way and tell me how they're getting to more than five. I guess if you believe Deshaun comes back and is like a superstar QB on day one, that's the answer. I'm skeptical.
It's not irony, but I think that the reality is when we looked at the start of the season, it was the Texans that we were talking about not coming close to or just barely sniffing the four and a half wins to try and compete with Vegas. But we thought that the Browns were at least good enough to get six or seven wins. Now you look at it because they didn't get some of those wins we had penciled in at the start of the year early in the schedule and say the road going forward is really, really tough. I think it's realistic to say top seven for both of the picks, but that's still why you embrace the suck, because you embrace it enough knowing that if you are at least on parallel with the Browns or worse, you're in a much, much better position as you embrace the suck.
And that's why I worded this the way I did. I'm not telling you that embrace the suck should stop. I'm just telling you that I think there's a little bit more room for error. I think you're going to be in a situation where you're going
to have to... I don't want to leave anything to chance, Brendan. I don't. 1.5 is perfect for me. Just leave it there.
Is the only emotion that you feel in sports scared?
No. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I feel like that is the only emotion that you
that
feel.
That was a very subtle shot there.
I know, and that's not true at all. I have plenty of things that I'm extremely confident in, including like myself shooting three-pointers and things like that. But I'm talking about from a sports perspective... I've been burned before, and I've seen a ton of people, and the egg on your face when you go overboard cocky and then it doesn't turn out that way.
If you try to protect yourself, you don't get to like feel the best things in life as strongly. Look, they're going to – I just – honestly, I think they're going to have to
– I can protect myself and tell you that my jewelry box that I never wear has some rings in it that says that it turned out okay being apprehensive about the Rockets and then seeing them at the end of the mountain – at the end of the day on top of the mountaintop.
All I'm trying to tell you, and you can deny me all you want,
okay,
is that because the Browns are so much worse than I think people were expecting, at least I feel they are, and their schedule gets really tough here for the next – 7-8 games up until Houston. Mm-hmm. That Browns pick is going to be really nice.
Can I
too.
Ask you though? Why does it have to be a competition?
I'm telling you. That's what
I don't want it to be worse than the Browns pick. I just want it to be the number one pick if possible.
But that's why I'm stressing. I'm not telling you it has to be. I'm not telling you that you should give up on embrace the suck. I'm telling you that you can relax a little. That's all I'm doing.
So here's the thing. I want them to keep doing what I want them to keep doing.
But
and then if they slip up, I'll feel a
little
better.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Continue to feel the way you feel. But if the Texans win some games that you think hurts them,
don't stress.
Don't
it too
let
much.
It stress you as much as you would have otherwise. Okay. That's all I'm trying to say.
Now, whether I actually follow your advice or not, it's a different story. But at least I've heard you, and I can agree with you.
All right, coming up in about a half hour, I'm super excited. For the first time ever, I'm going to get to play Who Said It from this side. But coming up next, I have a deal or no deal Astros question for you guys. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, time's running out, guys. I always tell you to place money on games that you want to bet on at mybookie.ag. This is the final week of the double your next deposit bonus. And therefore, I'm telling you that you got to get in on it now or you don't know when it's going to be back again. They did it to start football season. They've been doing it for quite a while, but I keep telling you this is the last week of it. So get on top of it. Get in there now. Go to mybookie.ag, put in the promo code BET975, double your next deposit or your initial deposit up to $1,000. That means that you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. And it's with the only place I tell you to do it, because you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You can bet you put your money in your account with Bitcoin, credit card. They're going to be accommodating. Just like if you win and you want your money, they're going to get it to you. They're not going to make sure that you, you know, keep it in your account because they don't have it to pay out and they're encouraging you to keep it rolling. No, they're going to let you do it how you want to do it and handle your account the right way. But the best way they can help you, do what they're doing now. Double that next deposit. Go to mybookie.ag and put in the promo code BET975. You put $200 in your account, you get $400 almost instantly. And that means the games can really begin because you have more options to do more things, just like we just did with our weekly picks with David Gow's money. Only this is your money, and you reap the benefits when you win. So check them out right now, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Double that next deposit. Get involved and make winning season start this weekend with all the sports games going on. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I haven't watched regular TV in a really long time, but I used to be.
You're knee deep in like 10,000 video games.
I watch TV. I watch stream stuff. I don't watch things live. I haven't had cable since I moved out of my dad's house, but I used to really enjoy Deal or No Deal. I think that was hot for a minute.
Okay. I mean, you do you, brother. I don't get involved in all of what you do and don't do, and I definitely certainly let everybody else try to get involved in your dating life. I think everybody's got their own ways of illegally streaming and getting their video preferences and doing the things they do. I stupidly have stuck with DirecTV thanks to the NFL Sunday Ticket.
Well, Joel, I have an Astros Deal or No Deal for you.
Okay.
Astros are 2-0.
Yeah, we know.
They're heading to New York for 3. Now, you can just let it play out.
See where things go. The question.
You can let the series play
out. Oh, okay.
Or I have an offer for you. The Astros go 1-2 in New York, come back home to Houston, 3-2. Do you let it play out, or do you take the deal?
What's the deal? So I get one of two.
You
got to come back and win.
Have you ever seen the show?
Yeah, but you didn't set up the deal completely.
Completely disagree. You have two options.
What two options? One, I can take the deal of getting one win in New York and play it out.
And two losses.
Yeah.
And you come back to Houston.
Or just play it out as it is right
or
now.
Or play it out as it is. 713-780.
I'm playing it out as it is right now.
3776. Do you take the deal of 1-2 in New York, or do you play it out?
They only got two pitchers that I really am even remotely concerned about. So, and the way they're playing right now, and they haven't lost yet, I'll take the chances of playing it out and think that they're going to get one anyway, but I believe they can get two, as opposed to just having to accept taking one and having to win two games, one of two games at though you're at home with their pitching set up more. So I'm going to let it ride out with a 2-0 lead.
I'll be honest, I thought this was going to be a lot tougher for Joel. I didn't expect him to jump. BMAC, I'm going to ask you, I know where you're going. I just thought coming back 3-2, see, here's the thing. I also think it's possible they don't come back. But at the end of the day, if you tell me they're coming back 3-2 with two games at home, I have 100% no doubts they're winning the series. Maybe things go wrong.
That's where that stupid overconfidence that you have gets in the way.
I mean, I'm definitely letting it play out. To echo one of Joel's points, they only have two pitchers, I fear. And I don't even really fear Nestor Cortez. I guess I just respect the season he's had. But I think they can do better than that. There's no reason for me to take that deal with the way the Astros
play. Wow!
I mean, this is no-brainer to me.
BMAC, am I off base for thinking Joel would struggle with this?
No, you're right. I thought Joel might take it. I thought, because I know he doesn't want to jinx anything, and if you come back 3-2, you're feeling confident you get one here in Houston and you advance to the World Series. I thought there was a chance.
This blows
Brendan's
whole theories about me out of the water.
Well, I texted Jeremy too.
I have confidence, but I'm not going to accept the suck. I'm not going to accept that you dropped 2 out of 3 in New York. And then you got to face their two best pitchers coming back to Houston no matter what. I'm going to let it play out knowing we haven't lost yet.
But here's the thing. This is why it doesn't make sense to me where you are. And again, I want to know where people listening are. Would you take the deal? 713-780-3776. 1-2 in New York. You get to come back 1-2, or you can let it play out as is. Let us know where you're at. But Joel, the reason it surprises me is because I think, generally speaking, if you're heading to whoever you're playing in a 2-3-2 format, up 2-0, you would say you're happy coming back 3-2. I think in all honesty, that's the goal for most teams. Now, I understand that this Astros team has a higher expectation, but that's why I look at the postseason the way I do, because I have a higher expectation for them. I think most teams put in this scenario, you say, I am thrilled to come back.
I got a higher expectation for them, so I don't want to take a deal where they have to accept two losses. I have a higher expectation for them because of the way they're playing and they haven't lost yet, and the way that everybody's been doing their job, that you go in, let it play out, and realize that if you keep doing the job you've been doing, you may not have to come back to Houston at all. And I like that proposition, getting ready for a World Series, setting your pitching staff yet again, and knowing that you're building even more momentum with every win, that I'm not willing to accept two losses in New York.
I mean, every single answer is on your side. Nobody.
I mean, did you expect anything else?
The
blank mafia is,
I thought the average answer would be let it play out, and I have confidence that this team is going
to
win.
I just think no one is willing to concede a loss to Nestor Cortes. I mean, Garrett Cole, they're rightly the underdog.
Okay. They will understand it if they lose to Cole.
Here's my problem. If you're going to say that, I'm not willing to concede two losses. I'm not willing to say 1-2. Just tell me they're winning the World Series. Just do it.
I think I have.
I have no doubts. I had no questions about where you're going to go. But if you're going to say I'm not willing to come back 1-2, just say they're going to win the World Series, because that's what you're telling me.
I don't have to say
You won't that. Say the words, but you're telling me it.
Because I don't want to jinx
with your decision. But you are telling me it with your decision.
I think they're going to, but I'm not going to say that because I don't want to jinx them.
On the text line, no, finish them. On Twitch, bring the brooms.
See? Blankers, wankers. Speak softly and carry a big stick. That's what we're calling it. Forget Mills Mafia. Blankers, wankers.
I think we need the t-shirt.
Yep. I don't know.
Speak softly and carry a big stick.
I don't know that we're going to get approval on that t-shirt.
Oh, I got something for you on that.
Unauthorized t-shirts.
On Twitch as well. Brendan, where do you get your weed? I'm on the side of not taking the deal. I clearly am not the greatest banker of all time.
Not bankers, wankers. Blankers, wankers.
As I was looking into this, did you know, apparently, I don't know if Deal or No Deal still goes on now, but at least as of 2019, you could counteroffer the banker?
I didn't know that.
I didn't watch the show a ton, but it never even dawned on me.
You know how many of the
suitcase
carrying women were famous?
You didn't used to be able to. That was something that.
Oh, that was a rule they changed like midway?
Meghan Markle was
a
suitcase girl.
Yeah.
On the show.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. More texts. When did John Madden join the show? I don't follow that one.
I don't know what that is.
Here's a guy. When he runs, he goes faster. Boom! Right there. I guess we're all on the same page. I thought you'd probably choose that, because yesterday you were telling us that you felt like if they went up 2-0, there's a pretty good chance they wouldn't come back. So I'm not surprised you took that. I just thought the safety of knowing you
Yankees
get at least
have
one.
Been able to hit Javier. Garrett Cole's got the whole world on his shoulders. We know that he's had a propensity for giving up long balls and doing okay, but he can also choke it off a little bit in a game like this. And there's no wiggle room for a Yankees team that is almost to the brink now with the way that they've been playing. And they haven't hit Javier, and there's no reason to believe they're going to hit McCullers, because the way McCullers has pitched, and especially how he's pitched lately, and the command of the breaking pitch they can't hit, which almost every guy in that lineup struggles with the breaking ball, with the exception of Bader, who caught one from Verlander. I just feel like there's a really good chance in my mind that they don't have. I said if they won game two, there was a really good chance in my mind that they're not coming back to Houston to have to play a game.
Do you think 1-2 is the worst case scenario?
I do.
If you think 1-2 is the worst case scenario, this is super easy. I didn't think you would think that. I did text Jeremy too, because I was curious what he thought. He said it was a tough answer and went the same way that literally everybody else in the city of Houston is apparently going.
Except you.
No, I'm on that side too. I thought I was going to be challenging you.
Oh.
You swing and you miss sometimes. But no, I have a hard time seeing the Astros losing three straight to anybody.
Tell that to Jose Altuve.
Right now.
You swing and you miss sometimes.
Tell that to the Yankees. 30 strikeouts in two games, but it's the roof. Yeah, they strike out, or they swing and they miss a lot. I would love one person on my side. Well, not even on my side. I would love one person to confirm.
I wouldn't look at Twitch.
That's 2 days in a row. No, I mean, I'm with you guys. I'm letting it play out. I believe in this Astros team. I just thought it was going to be more difficult.
By the way, I got to throw this out there. When we were saying what we were saying, and whether they allow things and comments and things like that, the T-shirts, the blankers, wankers. I'm waiting to get my credential remade yesterday at the MLB offices right there outside of the third base box office, watching fans go in the ballgame. Guy walks up, he's got six signs, and they actually stop him, and they make him put them all on the sidewalk, and they have to look and inspect each one of them, and evidently they're looking for offensive comments. She pulls one away and says, wait here. I mean, some of the other ones said, I gave up my job, I quit my job to be here, and, you know, things about Altuve and things about the Yankee, just, you know, but nothing really. The one she pulled away said, spank the Yanks.
So, I mean, I have no problem with it. The one thing that I can get why they wouldn't do it, if that gets on TV or on social media, it feels like it has meme potential.
I don't care.
No, but I could see them caring. I could see them not wanting.
It's not an offensive word or words. I mean,
it's look, what it
is. I saw, by the way, at the in the Chiefs game that was on national TV, some chick had a sign they showed multiple times that said, Travis Kelce can be my hall pass. And they kept showing her and the sign. So I don't think that they're going to worry about spank the Yanks. It's not the F. Altuve that we hear all over Yankee Stadium or Bob Costas getting overly bent out of shape because of what the fans were chanting that Yankees suck. But she came back. She brought the sign. She said, those five signs are okay. I need to watch you destroy this one. He had to rip it up and throw it in the trash can before he went in the stadium. I thought that was BS.
Joel, I don't. I would let every sign in. It would have to be incredibly rough for me. I mean, not actually every sign, but I'll put it this way. The signs that I wouldn't let in, I don't think very many people are making. Like, I don't think people are going to make the, like, openly hateful signs. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they get turned away from games all the time. I'm just guessing that people aren't like, oh, let me go to a baseball game and, like, be racist.
I understand analyzing signs came with the cheating scandal because everybody was worried all over the league that they were going to get annihilated and a lot of things were going to be said on signs. But the fact that, and I get it from a Houston perspective, when Easterby and Bill O'Brien were at their worst, we saw the guy, we had the guy on the show that had the signs about fire Easterby that got scrutinized. But spank the Yanks? We want beat New York, and that's okay, but spank the Yanks is not.
All right, real quickly, two people on the text line making me feel a little bit better.
Is that
about
why you were celebrating?
Yes. 6767 says, give me 3-2 at home. Saying let's play it out is being overconfident. I disagree with you, but I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad that somebody feels that way. And 2094 says, I'll take the deal solely so they can win the LCS in Houston. That's kind of an interesting way to look at it. I do think it is more fun to win big series at home. I don't know if I would take a deal for that reason, but different way of thinking about it. Now, we know who's going to be pitching game three for the Astros. Let's get to that next. This is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brendan Riley in for Jeremy Branham today. We know who is starting game three for the Astros. I think it's who you wanted, who you felt
they were going to start. It's Christian Javier.
You happy with it?
I'm very happy. And, Dusty set the table for you the other day when he said, you're looking for a guy that can bounce back on short rest, that has a durable arm, that does all these things, that can be ready for a game seven if you need him. And that's not Lance McCullers. With all the medical history of Lance McCullers, including the recent history of what he just went through with his forearm, the fact that we now have this new revelation that McCullers said he got hit on the elbow with a champagne bottle while celebrating in Seattle. That's why he was bumped today. I mean, whatever alibi you want to use to make yourself feel better, the bottom line is, if you need a guy on short rest, you need a guy like Christian Javier. He's been in the bullpen. He's pitched multiple days in a short period of time. He's also been a starter. He can do, and he's also been the Yankees' daddy when he pitches against them, only giving up, I think, two hits all year, that it made perfect sense. McCullers has been good. He's been very good. But you don't want to put, he's also under contract long term at a big dollar figure too. You don't, coming off of what he's come off of, want to risk anything for the World Series or however long they go by putting him in that predicament.
713-780-3776. You like Javier as the game three starter.
I do.
After game one, when we first started having this discussion about who should start game three, I leaned Javier. After they won last night, honestly, I don't think it matters. Like I think,
again, I'm not going that route.
I think Javier's probably the smarter call. I don't think it's super likely you're going to go to seven. And even in a world where you do.
Okay, that's fair.
And even in a world where you do. In game seven of the ALCS, everything's on the table. And this bullpen is so unbelievably deep. We watched them go 18. And, like, the truth of the matter is, Joel, and it's different because you had a bunch of off days in that series and you'd be coming off of five straight days in game seven. But at no point in the 18-inning game did I think, man, this is going to kill their bullpen. I never felt that way.
Well,
so, like, even if you go with McCullers, you don't have to ask him to throw. You don't even have to ask him to throw five.
Well,
in game seven.
You got a Luis Garcia ready to go for game seven if you need him to, depending on how and where you use him leading up to that. You have a ton of quality pitchers, as we've talked about, that are capable of getting three batters or getting through an inning or going longer than that. So you have a surplus of starting pitching. It's just that Lance McCullers is so vital to your big picture success, in my opinion, because he gives you such an advantage.
Sure.
That other guys may not give you as great of an advantage with, that I don't want to mess with that. And I believe Javier has had the Yankees' number. He's younger, he's more durable, and he's got great stuff.
I find myself leaning towards Javier being the right call. I just think it's low stakes, if that makes sense.
It does.
I think the most likely scenario is they both pitch once.
Well, and I think that's probably more than possible. I think that the one thing you look at, too, is if this was Lance McCullers prior to this last injury in Chicago in the playoffs, it's a different discussion. It's a different. It's a no-brainer in the favor of Lance McCullers.
I am curious, because I don't know that there's an obvious answer. Maybe there is. Which of the two do you prefer? Just like complete vacuum. You're going into any random Astros playoff game. Which of the two do you feel best about giving you a dominant outing?
That's a great question.
I think my answer is Lance, but
I would lead Lance.
But it's not. Yeah. I think you could go either
pedigree.
Way.
From an experience, nothing's going to phase him. And having the best, as good as Javier's stuff is, McCullers' breaking pitches are off out of this world and on another planet when he's on his game. To where, and what he did in the opening round against Seattle, when everybody gave them a huge advantage in their first game in Seattle in a raucous environment. And he just shut the door and shut them down, and his pitch count wasn't as high as it had been, and his control was better. I'd have to say Lance.
Part of the reason I asked that question, and this might sound counterintuitive, I almost like the guy you feel better about going in game four. I almost like saying, I
understand that, actually.
Are you conceding to Garrett Cole?
No, well, here's the thing. I'm not conceding it because I don't think this Astros team is definitely conceding any game. But I look at it like, if you lose that one and win the next one, cool. Like, I offered you one and two, and you wouldn't take that. But I bet you would have taken one and one in the next two, right?
I would.
Yeah, I'd take that.
So that's kind of what I'm looking at it as.
Because,
am I conceding?
But to B-Mac's point, the way I was thinking about this is this, along the same lines. That is that you know you're going up against their ace. So you know that even if you're in the game, no matter how, if you lose that game, no one's going to lose any sleep because that's their best shot to take their first big punch at you. And they're supposed to win that game. First game at home, raucous environment. First time the Astros in a playoff game return to Yankee Stadium. Everything's stacked up against you. So if you lose that, I get that, right? But overall, other than that, I just feel like their pitching is better. I will say this. The factor, too, though, is Lance pitching on the road in cold weather is different than Lance pitching on the road in Seattle.
Happening. You're not really getting
to
decide.
And the other thing you got to be concerned of is there's this mystery finger with this brace on it, on Lance's throwing hand that everybody's been asking about. Now we got a champagne bottle to the elbow, and we've got a splint on a finger, but he said he threw a bullpen yesterday, and he was fine, and he's ready, going to be ready to go for game four. At this point, I just don't want him to not be there. Just let him be there in game four and be like he was in Seattle, and I'm fine.
This question really comes down to me. I think we all agree that most likely the Yankees are winning game three with Garrett Cole. So this question comes down. I'm just saying they're favorite in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't want to concede that,
I'm
but I understand.
I'm conceding it, but that's the most likely outcome. And I picked the Astros in five. That was the game I was giving the Yankees. My point being is the Yankees are going to have some semblance of momentum or at least hope going into game four that they could tie the series up. So I want the pitcher I trust more in game four to stop that momentum versus facing Garrett Cole.
So
I believe that guy's Lance. I mean, who else, what other pitcher could go up against the Yankees lineup in 2017 and decide, you know what, I'm going to throw them the same pitch 27 times in a row and see what they can do with it. He's just got a bulldog mentality that I trust in that.
As a general rule, we're definitely on the same side. I think I'm less into conceding the Cole start than you are. My thought is just that I don't care if they lose that game. remember how earlier I said I needed to slow down a little bit? Like, I'm stepping on the gas a little bit too hard. I don't think I'm going to pick them to lose the game this postseason. They're going to, right? Like, they're not going to
yeah,
win.
As confident as I am, I think they're going to lose two.
I'm not, like, and I recognize that. That's why, like I said, I needed to step on the brakes. I recognize that they're not going to win every game. But I go into every game expecting to win. I just look at...
I'm optimistic, but I'm always... I'm never going to go in overconfident. Yeah, I know, and it shouldn't surprise you. But I look at the scenario going, you've seen the craziest of things happen in sports. You've seen it happen in baseball. You don't want to see it here. The thing that worries me more so than when he pitches is if he pitches. Because the thing with McCullers we've learned is, the more they tell you everything's fine, the more it's not, and it takes too much time. And an injury that happened in the playoffs where they were still optimistically considering him for the World Series turned out to over half a season of him missing every single opportunity to pitch.
Yeah, that's a fair concern, and I don't blame you for having it. I feel like I'm going to get ridiculed for
this. They would have said he felt discomfort. Now I'm out.
I feel like I'm going to get ridiculed for this, but if worse came to worse and that were what was happening, I still think you'd survive it.
Well, you got enough pitching depth. That
you don't want to be there.
You have Garcia, which gives you all the belief in the world. You have another guy that could fill in, but you don't want to have to face that possibility.
No, you don't want to be here. But I think you could survive it if you did. 6927 on the text line. Didn't Javier throw 7 no-hit innings earlier this year when matched up against Cole?
He's given up two hits all year against the Yankees.
I think it's important to note, like, none of us are discrediting Javier. I've said this before, although Jeremy Pena is making a case for himself for me this postseason. Christian Javier is my favorite Astro. And I know that's weird. I get it. But he is. So I have every expectation that both of them are going to be great. I just, in the postseason, if I had to pick one who I expect to be dominant, it's McCullers. But both of them are in that discussion.
Yeah, and my thought on that, why I would prefer Lance in a situation where he has to stop momentum is not a disbelief in Javier, to your point. It's just that if one of these two pitchers has a game where he walks four batters and things get away with him with his pitch count, I think it's more likely to be Javier. Not that he would get shelled necessarily.
See, I don't.
But he could get you in a spot where he goes four innings and now you got to use your bullpen more than
pitch count-wise, I worry about Lance. Now, the Seattle game calmed my nerves a little bit because the one thing that he's really struggled with since he's come back is his pitch count. He's walked. His control hasn't been as good. If he gets squeezed a little bit, it bothers him. And he hasn't been able to go deep enough into games for my liking. But the game in Seattle gave me all the encouragement that maybe that was just the regular season, and now he's really rolling. He's focused. He's dialed in. He steps it up a notch in the playoffs. I believe he can. Look, last night in the postgame show, Jimmy Rollins and Pedro and all the guys they had on, Costas threw it out there about would the Yankees take advantage of a Lance McCullers? Everybody yelled no. Like, they know Lance McCullers' stuff plays in the play. It plays at all times. But it plays even better in the playoffs, especially with a lineup like this that struggles with breaking pitches.
McCullers, and I don't know if this is fair or not, McCullers just feels more intimidating.
He's been there, done that, had 20-some curveballs.
2017 with 27 straight curveballs. So
they keep saying 24. I always thought it was 27.
I thought it was 24 because that's what I always see, but I wasn't here.
Yeah, I thought it was 27. Either way, it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Javier's had some pretty great, nothing like that, but he's been pretty damn good in the postseason.
I love his
too.
Mentality.
Javier in the postseason, like my first season, like really following the Astros, I want to say was 2019. No, 20. I was here in 19, so I kind of followed that postseason run, but I was working in local radio in 2020. So that was the first postseason I really started following them. And Javier was kind of your, like, come out of the pen whenever, throw a couple innings guy, and he was really good in that role. That's when I became such a Javier fan in the first place.
Javier's the lovable version of Phil Maton. He's unflappable. He doesn't show emotion. He just goes out and mows people down, unlike Phil Maton.
Are you saying Phil Maton's not lovable?
I'm saying that.
I'm saying he doesn't mow people down.
I think his parents might call him lovable.
That's what I'm saying. All of the above.
All right, coming up, it's my favorite part of the show every week, but now I get to participate on it on the other side. Joel, I hope you're ready for the best performance in Who Said It we've ever seen.
If you let me down, after all I've had to do to carry Branham all these weeks, I will not be happy because you know my weekend could be ruined if you don't perform.
I'm expecting to get every single one right.
I like that.
All right, this is Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.